Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
Jesus and his disciples, Jesus and his followers were in a boat. They set a course east across the Sea of Galilee to an area known as the Decapolis, which means 10 cities. This loose federation of towns was conquered by the Roman general Pompey in the first century BC. Pompey rebuilt these cities, funded these cities, so that they might emphasize and showcase pagan Greek culture, as in Greek gods and Greek worship. So Jesus and his disciples were headed to pagan Gentile country, away from Israel, away from God's people. Now, on the way, a great storm arose and threatened to sink the ship, and that was our passage last week. Afraid that they were going to die, the panicked disciples awakened a sleeping Jesus, and the Son of God rebuked the wind. He commanded the waves. At his word, the tempest stopped raging. The chaos was subdued. All was quiet. All was still. At this, his disciples were afraid, and they wondered, who then is this? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? When they arrived on the other side, in the country of the Gerasenes, a sight met them that sounds straight out of a nightmare or a horror movie. As soon as they set foot on land, a man started running toward Jesus, out of the mountains, out of the tombs, out of the cemetery, a man bloodied and battered and scarred, a howling wild animal of a man. Now, this man lived among the tombs. He dwelled among the dead because he was an outcast from the living. Now, there are those who tried to tame him, overpower him, subdue him, but he couldn't be bound. He couldn't be shackled. Possessing a superhuman strength, he had broken every chain, every iron, every device used to hold him. He spent his nights howling among the graves, crying out in the mountains, and wounding himself, cutting himself. He was a man possessed, tormented by a spirit, an evil spirit, an unclean spirit. A demon. Now, besides being a scene straight out of a nightmare, this story has a number of religiously unclean elements, unclean as in contaminated, polluted, and for Jews, this meant ungodly. Now, here's what faced Jesus in our passage. The man has an unclean spirit. He lives in a Gentile land among unclean people. They're not God's people. His home is among the tombs. Now, our Old Testament reading was from the book of Numbers, and this law from the book of Numbers was one of the purity laws. It states that if you touched a dead body, you were unclean. You were ritually impure for 7 days. If you were unclean, you could not enter the tabernacle. You could not worship with God's people until you cleansed yourself, ritually washed yourself in the prescribed manner. And if you broke this law, the consequences were serious. You could be cut off. You could be cast out from Israel, from the people of God. Now, over time, Jewish rabbis, teachers interpreted and applied this law. And at the time of Jesus, you were unclean if you came in contact, not just with a dead body, but also anything associated with the dead, garments of the dead, bedding of the dead, tombs and graves. Again, an unclean spirit, an unclean man, an unclean place among unclean people who were engaged in an unclean business. There was a pig farm close by. According to God's law, pigs were unclean animals. Jews did not keep pigs. Jews did not eat pigs. In other words, this was not a place or a situation that any of God's people would want to enter. In fact, this was not a place or a situation where most anyone would want to enter. But Jesus does. The Son of God goes where others dare not or cannot. And he goes willingly. Remember, the Gospel of Mark emphasizes that the coming of Jesus is D-Day. It's an invasion. It's an incursion. It's an assault on the powers of this world, the powers of darkness, the powers of sin and death and evil. Jesus enters this unclean Gentile land, and he stands firm as this nightmare horror movie howling wild animal of a man descends upon him. And rather than falling upon Jesus, overpowering Jesus, this man actually falls before Jesus, on his knees before Jesus, subdued before Jesus. And he cries out to him in a loud voice. And listen again to what he says. Actually, this is what the unclean spirit says through the man. "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, the disciples may have wondered, who then is this? Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? But the demon knew. The demon recognizes Jesus, knows the true identity of Jesus, that he is the Son of God, Son of the Most High God, the God who transcends and is exalted above all other gods and powers and authorities. He is the Almighty. And this demon essentially tells Jesus, "Leave me alone." That's the sense of what have you to do with me? Leave me alone. The demon also asks Jesus not to torment him or send him away. Jesus only asks him his name. And the answer is in verse 9. "My name is Legion, for we are many." The unclean spirit claims the name Legion. Now, Legion is a military term. Legion referred to the largest unit of troops in the Roman army, 5,600 soldiers. So this man does not have just one unclean spirit, but a large host. He is under siege by a great demonic force. He's held captive by an army of evil powers. There is great chaos within him. Legion begs Jesus to allow them to leave the man, to enter a herd of pigs, 2,000 pigs, in fact, that were feeding on a hillside nearby. Listen again to verse 13. "So he gave them permission. The Son of the Most High God gave them permission." Just as Jesus had authority over the forces of nature, the wind and the waves, he has authority over the forces of evil. He has authority over unclean spirits, over the demonic, even an army of the demonic. And at his word, they leave. At his word, they enter the pigs. And that herd of pigs, 2,000 pigs, go running down the hill, go running straight into the sea, and are drowned. Now, you may not think you have much in common with this wild animal of a man possessed by Legion. But the truth is, you do. And you may not be possessed by a demon, but the truth is, you're unclean. You're unclean because of sin. You're unclean because of your sin. Now, breaking God's law, failing to love, you sin. And when you do, you are impure. You can't enter into God's presence. You can't go before the Lord. Now, there may not be a legion within you, but there is certainly chaos within you. The power of sin is like a tempest in your heart, a storm in your soul, in your mind, overpowering you. You may not cut yourself, you may not injure yourself, but sin certainly wounds. Your words, your action, your inaction can cause hurt, pain, both in you and in those around you. But the good news is this: Jesus has come. The Son of the Most High God comes to you. He enters where others cannot or will not. And he has the power to still the tempest within you, to subdue the chaos within your heart, within your soul, within your mind. He has authority over sin. He has authority over evil. He has authority over the evil one. He can give you peace. And through his crucifixion, through his sacrificial death on the cross, he can cleanse you of your sin, make you pure, white as snow. So that now, because of Jesus, because of his death, you can enter into God's presence. You can worship him and serve him and belong to him. Jesus recreates you, he restores you, he renews you, he gives you new life so that you're no longer an outcast, no longer dwelling among the graves, but now you belong among the living. He can do this for you. He offers this to you in love, in mercy. Believe in him, Son of the Most High God. Follow him, Son of the Most High God. Place your faith in him, in Jesus. He can set you free. Well, after the pigs hit the water, the herdsmen fled. They flee and they tell what happened. They tell what happened in the city. They tell what happened in the country. And some who heard came to see for themselves. Now, imagine their astonishment. Imagine their amazement when they saw the howling, living among the tombs, demon-possessed, chain-breaking, wild animal of a man, now clothed, now calm, now in his right mind, sitting there with Jesus. Well, you might think that they would be grateful, that they would be thankful, that they would be overjoyed, that they would be in wonder and awe at the transformation, at the restoration, at the healing of this man, at what Jesus did for this man. You might think that they might want to know who this Jewish stranger is who dared to go where no one dared to go, who did what no one was able to do. But no. Mark tells us that their reaction is fear. Fear. They see the man clothed in his right mind, sitting next to Jesus, and they were afraid. They were afraid. When confronted with divine authority and power, they were afraid, just like the disciples after Jesus stilled the storm. But this fear does not lead to faith. This fear does not lead to worship. You see, seeing miracles, witnessing the power of God firsthand, does not always lead to faith. It doesn't always lead to belief. In fact, it can lead to rejection. Here, it leads to rejection. What do? When they see this man in his right mind and clothed and sitting next to Jesus, what do? They beg Jesus to leave. They want Jesus to go. They want him to get back on the boat. They want him to sail away. And that's what Jesus does. While he was boarding the boat, the man that he had healed, the man that he restored, the man he had given life, begs him to take him. He wanted to go. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to be with the one who saved him. He wanted to be with the Son of the Most High God, but Jesus wouldn't let him. And most likely, the presence of a Gentile among his followers would be a great stumbling block in his ministry to Israel. So instead, he tells the man this. Listen to verse 19 again. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus sends him out. He sends him out to tell others, beginning with those he knows, his family and his friends, to tell them good news, the good news about Jesus, about what he did, about how much he did, to tell them about the transformation, the healing, the cleansing, the new life, the mercy. Jesus sends this man out as his first missionary. This formerly demon-possessed, howling, wild animal of a man, this Gentile is the first Christian missionary, and he's sent by Jesus among other Gentiles. And the man obeys. He went and he did as Jesus bid him. A Gentile telling other Gentiles about the Son of God. A Gentile telling other Gentiles about the Lord. And we're told that all who heard marveled. They marveled. Now, Jesus' instructions to this man are also for us, for those who've been saved by him, cleansed by him, transformed by him, renewed by him. They're for you. After his death and resurrection, Jesus left this world. After his death and resurrection, he ascended to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes, he is present through the Holy Spirit. Yes, he is with you now through the Holy Spirit, but he's not here in person. You can't be with him in person yet. You may want to, you may long to, and one day you will forever. But while here, while we have breath and life and being before Jesus returns, before the new heaven and the new earth, these words are for us. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. In mercy, the Son of the Most High God has cleansed you, subdued the chaos within you, overcome sin and evil for you, and gives you life. Tell it. Tell those you know. And give glory to Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God, Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.